Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
We are back here on the Tip of the Tower podcast. We took a little bit of a break last week. Last week was a bit of a... We went with the load management. We went the load management route last week.
So, let me get this straight. First, you drop surprise Hall & Oates on me.
Yes.
Then you use the forbidden phrase.
Yes.
All in a 30-second span.
I'm rejuvenated. Austin,
the gall of you, Morisuti.
First and foremost, we have video today. And I am very, very shocked that none of you have commented on the look of my face.
Is it supposed to look different? It looks...
Do you not notice...
You're shaved. Look at you.
Oh, there you go.
The full-out Italian barber shave. I went to my barber.
Did you get it with the straight razor and everything?
Oh, yeah. Only way to get it done, boys.
I should come out to your Italian barber before I go out west.
Yeah. I mean, you don't really have much facial hair, though, so it'd be...
No, there's nothing to shave off. I just want them to cut my hair.
All right. Well, I'll set you up with Joe or Frank, and they'll get you going.
All right.
I was thinking about doing one Sunday. I had, like, the biggest headache, and part of that had to do with the Leafs. It's interesting how a couple of days can also provide some new perspectives. Unfortunately... The same old crap is being spewed out over the airwaves in Toronto, which has made me really fired up to want to do another podcast tonight. The big topic of conversation, let's pick it up.
Where do we begin?
Yes, where do we begin?
What fire do you put out first, or attempt to?
I don't know, we're not going to put out any fires because...
No, not us singularly, but what fire are we going to tackle? Is better.
I'm going
raising for that.
Pick one.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a forest fire right now.
They're all equally unexciting to talk about because they're so stupid.
Okay. So I'm trying to think. Which one do we want to go with first? Do we want to go with Nylander? Do we want to go with what they said about Matthews today?
I don't know if I've heard that, so
maybe. The thing you brought
yeah,
up,
you
the,
did.
The Feshchuk thing you brought up.
It's been a minute since you said that.
So where do we want to go with first? Okay, let's go over the last few. The last time we talked, the Leafs were in a little bit of a downroll. Not a spiral. They're just going through some stuff. They're going through the motions. Their play
That's more accurate.
Yeah. The the thing is, for how the Leafs have been talked about the last few weeks, it's almost like the Leafs are.
You would have thought they're 0-15.
They're like the Red Wings. God awful, like even worse. And I know people. Yeah. And look, Detroit is a it's not like a nothing town. That's a team with the rich history of success. They're pretty much going through what the Leafs are going through, went through the last few years. They've just been more upfront about it than when the Leafs were not good. So, yeah, that was the first thing that kind of annoyed me. It's that anytime you turn on the radio, the AM dial here in Toronto, and you hear about the Leafs being talked about, it's, I say, 95% negative. Now, some of it has been warranted. Some of it had also been a little bit... It's almost like you're going to the recycling bin trying to look for the same old stuff and not wanting to just dump it out and put new stuff in the recycling bin. You're just recycling
certain people trying to stick to their narratives instead of just looking at the team for what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's a perfect way to describe it.
So, and I don't know. You... I don't want to start on Nylander because I could go in detail on those people that we leave that for later is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, we're going to get to Nylander in a second. The first one...
A perfect example of somebody bashing a narrative home until it's dead.
Well, this is what kind of started all of it was Alex Ovechkin's comments not too long ago saying that the Leafs, if they want to win, are going to have to play differently.
Mm-hmm.
I had no problem with what he said.
Yeah, I didn't either.
0%. He's been giving you an honest opinion, which is what you want to hear. But it's also one that's like, it's coming from a position of this guy knows what happens when your team does not play together like it has over the last few years. So, I want to say that the problem was that it ran everywhere and it got massive traction. It got a lot of comments. Then the players are asked about it.
Yeah, that's the thing is, it's morning skate, and Ovi knows this. Obviously, he's been around long enough to know that everything is news in Toronto, regardless of how small it is. Or anything like that. So if he says something like that, it's going to get back to the Leafs, like, pretty much immediately. You would think the Caps are generally the away team would take morning skate first. Then they'll probably get asked about it, the Leafs, after they're done morning skate. And it's just this whole thing that lingers for the entire day. That's how the news just goes in Toronto. And Ovi's not wrong. He's absolutely right to say what he said. And it's what Austin Matthews said. It's what I believe Mike Babcock said on the radio today, and I'm sure we'll get to him soon, is just always been through it. He knows what it's like to not be able to get past a certain team and then finally get there and what it takes to do it. And he's won a cup. So believe what you will about him and whatever stereotype because of his nationality. I'm sure this certain part of this fan base loves to hammer that home. He has a cup, and he can say what he damn wants because he's been there, and he knows how to get there now.
Well, not only that, he goes and says what he says. Like, he gives his opinion, and he goes out, and he has a decent game against the Leafs where he scores in the game tying and the game-winning goal.
Only a decent game for Ovi, just 2 goals and 2 assists.
That's just a day in the office for Ovechkin against the Leafs. Like,
John Carlson has 2 goals. That's not a big deal.
He always kills them. Always,
especially in Toronto, he murders us in Toronto.
I mean, he kills everybody, but he especially kills the Leafs.
He loves Toronto.
Yeah, him and Pastrnak have had a knack of doing that. Ovechkin's been doing it since he's been in the league, but yeah. Pastrnak is kind of he's catching up with him on that one as well. So the Ovechkin, and then it got. The funny thing is like certain media people know that, the thing is, like, especially the TV guys, they know they have a specific question they need to ask, specific soundbite they want to get. So then they go to Drew Doughty, who's been in, who's had some interesting things.
He's had a year.
I mean, he's just, he can't keep his hand, he can't keep his mouth shut.
Yeah, which is good in a way, because we want guys that talk
and say stuff. Oh yeah, for sure.
But it caught. So he said did you guys hear what he said about the Canucks?
Yeah, where you can't lose to a team like that.
Yeah. Which is true.
Then he backtracked on those comments.
Well, I think the people made it, construed it as, oh, he's saying this team is not capable of beating a team like the LA Kings 8-2. You know, like...
Let's be honest, that's exactly what he meant.
Yeah. And look, there's not many teams that will win a game 8-1, 8-2, whatever the score was. Like, it's not a common score in the NHL. So
no.
I get where he was coming about with that. I think the Canucks, I think this is the problem, though. The Canucks are trying to turn themselves into the Carolina Hurricanes of the West.
It's working. They look very good.
They look pretty good, but the thing is, you can't really deal when you have a guy like Elias Pettersson on the team. Like, you have a guy who's a star in this league. The Carolina Hurricanes didn't really have a star player.
You don't really have those guys that... Yeah, you don't have guys like Aho that sort of came not out of nowhere. He was a top
second round pick.
Yeah, second rounder. So he wasn't out of nowhere, but he certainly was a guy that a lot of people weren't expecting to be.
Yeah, exactly.
A number one center.
So, I get where this whole idea that it's, you know, you want the sound bites, you want the topics of discussion, but the problem is this game is getting old. And I liked what the Leafs did that night against Cavs, where they had some pushback. That was probably their best effort in terms of pushback and, you know, whatever the Capitals gave them, they pushed back. They had more pushback in that game. The Philadelphia Flyers game, that one was an interesting one. They looked really good in the first period. Then the second or third, I just don't know what to make of that. That game looked like they were just looking to get out of there with a point, and they got two, thankfully.
Talk about a game they had no business winning.
No, I mean, just the penalties. Like, they were clearly winning that game, then they just take dumb penalties.
It's bad.
The penalties are bad.
I said it in our chat. I mean, it's at a certain point, you're either going to listen to your coach and pull your head out of your ass and kill some penalties, or not take the penalties in the first place, or you're just going to keep doing the same BS that they've been doing. And it's very clear what route they've been taking so far.
I've just hated their personnel on penalty kills.
Yeah, it's always been bad. They've just gotten away with it. I mean, Zach Hyman's taken faceoffs for them for the last...
And that should never happen.
Yeah, we don't have a natural center that plays on the power penalty.
I don't know.
Frederick Gauthier should be that guy. Let's be honest here. Like, that's what they drafted him for. That's what they've been developing him for.
I don't even know what his face-off percentage is. I'm assuming it's pretty good. But, yeah, it just doesn't make sense. Like, they have wingers taking face-offs. I feel like any guy, any defenseman that wears blue and white just is allergic to taking 4 milliseconds to look up when they have a puck on their stick to clear it. Never seen a team that just clears a puck right into, like, right up the middle, to someone.
So
look for a half a second, go, oh, he's not there, and then just slap it wherever he isn't.
Yeah. So just FYI, Goat is having his best season so far in the faceoff dot at 54%.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good for a guy that, if I look at the fancy stats, because that's...
The best in the league's probably like 59.
So, and he's starting 77% of his time in the defensive zone. So that's...
Oh, wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot. So the issues, I think we've said this from the start of the year, that the issues have not been their bottom six, it's been their top six.
Yeah, it's just inconsistency. It's when Matthews and Nylander look good, Marner and Tavares do not, and vice versa.
Yeah,
the whole top six hasn't been on in sync for many, if any, games this season.
It's funny because somebody brought up, I think it was Mike Stevens that brought up, oh, it's funny how a team that looks so discombobulated without a I'm paraphrasing, I'm not using the exact quote, like without your $2 million winger in the lineup.
Yeah. I don't think I could ever think about him the same again.
Yeah.
Because I can't believe how big a difference he's made.
Especially with that line. It's just ridiculous.
Oh, they're out of whack completely.
Yeah. It's crazy. Honestly, there's no real other way to put it. They're just, Hyman doesn't score a lot of points and we know what he is, but he drives that line.
Yeah, definitely.
So I get all that. And I think what Mike Babcock is trying to do is he's trying to get this team to play with a little more structure. But the problem is when you're taking all the penalties that they're taking, when your top guys are blowing defensive assignments, it's tough. So I look at that game against the LA Kings. That was probably one of the more boring games of the season to watch. But Babcock apparently loved the way they play because...
Of course he did.
They limited... The thing is they limited what the Kings did offensively minus the power play stuff. Which, in retrospect, that 5-on-5, the Kings were not that good.
No. They're not that good anyway.
I know.
No, they're just not good in general. They have the worst penalty kill in the league, and their power play did not look good either.
No.
They got one BS bounce that ended up in the net on Iafallo's goal, and other than that, they could barely even set up a power play.
Yeah, and
and this is with good players. Sorry to cut you off, but like, they're old, but they're not like washed up players. Jeff Carter and Anze Kopitar are still. I mean, they're not like.
The problem is they have three. I think Jake was saying like they have maybe 3, 4, 5 good players, and then the rest of the roster is just like
pretty washed.
Yeah. They're over the hill. This team and
washed.
They're going to be in the lottery for a good chunk of the next decade. But like Kopitar can still go. Carter's a little overpaid now, but he's not a terrible guy to have.
No, I would want a guy like Kopitar on the team. Doughty's contract, it is what it is. He got paid for what he did. And
I think that Doughty contract would look a lot better if they actually had someone around him.
Well, the thing is, they had to get rid of guys to make that contract work as well, and they're kind of in the position of we gotta replenish and get younger, but we haven't had the draft capital because we traded it all away. To stay
I also
well.
Don't really have a good top defensive prospect, which is bothering me a little.
Yeah, I don't even know what their top defensive prospect would be.
I'd say Cale Clegg maybe. Okay. He's a second rounder.
So, not very good. And
not good. I mean, Durzi's up there, but he's a second rounder. It's like you need that top guy. And in hindsight, if Bowen Byram would have fell to them, they would have been laughing at number 5, but it didn't happen.
Did they get Turcotte?
They got, oh, Jesus, I think so. I didn't pay attention to that draft. I did all the lead up to it and then didn't actually watch the draft itself. But. Point of the matter is they're not as good as they should be, and the Leafs should not have made that look as difficult as it was through two periods, especially with Jonathan Quick and Ned, who's basically been giving up 5-goal games for fun this season.
The thing is, okay, so yes, Jake, it was Alex Turcotte. You are correct.
See, that's a good pick.
Yeah, he's like a good player.
But partly,
he's at that stacked Wisconsin team.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Team is freaking loaded. Cole Caulfield, the... First round, Keandre Miller from the Rangers.
Yeah, JD Greenway would have been there, but he transferred to Maine, I think.
Oof, what a brutal decision.
I think he's got like 3 points in 4 games. He's actually buzzing over there right now.
But Maine is terrible, is my point.
Yeah, they're not great. I had no reply to that. Just,
no.
They're a team.
So... This is where
they're a team. Thanks, Pierre.
No problem.
I was like, which Pierre? There's so many Pierres, and I remember Pierre Dorion.
No, we're not talking about the girth of somebody's stick, so it's not Pierre Maguire.
We're a team.
Did you hear that quote?
No.
Somebody pulled up an old clip from like a trade center where he talked about the group of Jeff O'Neill.
Yes. That was hilarious. O'Neill, yeah.
And then the thing with Aaron Ward. Like, Pierre McGuire is just... Anyway, he's a guy. Next.
Yes. So, the end of that game, I started thinking to myself, okay, what exactly is making the Leafs not look as good as when they started last year? Because I think last year they started like 10-5 or something along those lines.
Last year?
They were one of the top three teams in the standings. And I'm trying to think, okay, what wasn't going their way? Okay, so we know the power play hasn't been good. So how much of a change has that been? So this is where the stats come in. I said I had some stats for this. So
okay, Dave.
Yeah. I'm writing it. I wrote an article. It's going to come out tomorrow. It's already scheduled. I love having one that's scheduled and ready to go the next day. So right now, the Leafs power play ranks 20th in the league at 17.3%.
That's horrible.
That is atrocious. So last year, anybody want to take a guess where the Leafs power play ranked at this time last year?
They were first or second.
No. They were at like 30%.
So you are correct, Jake. They were at 30.8%, but that was fourth in the NHL.
Wow. Yeah, I just vividly remember the game. I think it was against San Jose when Tavares and Matthews they were literally just playing keep away, and then they scored probably one of the prettiest goals of the whole year, and San Jose just looked at each other like, we fucking suck.
Oh yeah,
talk about another team. They're gonna make Ottawa look real good.
They put Aaron Dell in the net, and I'm like, oh my goodness, why?
That was the game that Matthews came back, wasn't it?
I didn't think he met. I don't think he came back from anything. I thought he was playing the whole time.
Well, he got injured with the Trouba hit in like November.
I'm trying to remember. There was he came. It was the game that Matthews came back in San Jose where he absolutely like it was. You were laughing. So
yeah.
Another thing. And so just to kind of go over this whole power play thing. So since December 1st last year, this is how the Leafs. The Leafs power play was 18.9% since December 1st to the end of the season last year. So that's a major drop off from what you started off in the year. Okay, you know, maybe you're not going to. It's really hard, I guess, to finish at 30%, but to go all the way down to 18.9, that's pretty brutal. So okay, yeah. They're clearly struggling at the start of the year. They got a new assistant coach. There was actually some talk about that after practice today, just about Paul McFarland. Is that how you say his name?
Appreciate yep. It. Paul McFarland.
So I looked at some stats. Okay, and I think to myself, so what makes some teams in the NHL so good with the power play? You look at a team like Washington, Boston, Florida, after, you know, last year they were pretty good. You could probably put Colorado in there. What makes those teams really good? Now, you think about what are the weapons that they have and how do they use them? We know
the threat of a one-timer.
So, yes, that was the first one, the threat of a one-timer. So, I looked this up. We know that Austin Matthews, since he came into the league, since he made his NHL debut, he is second in the NHL in even strength goals with 95. Do you guys want to guess where he ranks in power play goals?
Oh, probably like 70th or something. Or okay, no. Maybe like 38th or something.
So he's 30th.
Hmm.
He has 28.
Yeah, that's really bad.
So I'm trying to think, okay, we know in his first year he didn't start on the first power play unit. Actually, I don't think he was ever on the first power play unit.
That first unit was Bozak, Van Riemsdyk, and Marner in their first year.
Yeah, he wasn't.
And Kadri, I think, was there too.
Yeah. So he was with Nylander, and they used to just throw that cross-crease play, and it worked every time.
So I looked at, okay, so how much has Matthews really played in comparison to other guys? So since he came, so in 228 career games, Matthews has played 562 total minutes on the power play. Do you guys want to take a guess? This is going to be a lot of guessing here. How much Ovechkin has played on the power play in that time?
Double that. I mean,
he doesn't come off the ice, so yeah.
double that. Yeah, 1,083 minutes.
Yeah. Which almost literally double.
So we're
it's just one thing with the power play real quick is, like, we can all agree as soon as that second unit comes out, we basically just wave the white flag.
That's part of my
we're assessment. Just giving those lines rest to get back.
Yeah. So if they don't score with the first unit on, the second unit most likely isn't getting the job done because there's not a guy who's willing to take a shot. I just wanted to touch the last thing on this Matthews playing time over in the power play. Nathan MacKinnon, Phil Kessel, Patrick Kane, Claude Giroux have all played over 900 minutes. So when you're comparing star players, I didn't check where Leon Draisaitl and McDavid was. That was my mistake. I meant to do that.
Well, I mean, wherever McDavid is, just assume Draisaitl's the exact same because they staple him to McDavid's hip and then call him the best player in the league.
So I'm thinking, okay, so Matthews has not gone the power play time, and that's why he's not producing to the same level as other star players have. So I'm trying to think, okay, since last year, because that's when Matthews had finally cemented himself on the top power play unit, he scored 15 goals with the man advantage. That's 11th in the league. So he's rising. He's going up. He has 76 shots with the man advantage. That is 20th in the league. And what I'm trying it's crazy that he has that many goals and he doesn't take that many shots. And you look at guys who take triple digits in shots. So I'm looking at, like, I'm going to make a comparison to a guy who played in Florida with McFarland. Mike Hoffman.
Big fan of shooting.
Mike Hoffman took 102 shots on the power play in the same time as Matthews, and he has 20 goals.
Yeah, he shoots a lot.
So part of my thinking is, and I'm looking at this game last night, you mentioned the Jonathan Quick angle. He had that absolutely unreal save on Matthews where he stretched the cross, and pretty much if Matthew got that puck in the air, it would have been a goal. But he just tried to go with the quick shot because the goalie was going right to left. It is times like that where you're just like, okay, Matthews, we know, has the shot. Why is he not shooting more? I don't get this idea of passing off all the time on the power play. You look at what Washington did against the Leafs last week. Ovechkin had 10 shots on goal in that game. He had 10.
Yeah, I thought he had 10 in overtime.
That's what it felt like.
How many shot attempts? He had to have easily 25.
I mean, I'd have to go to Natural Stat Trick to check that. But remember 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago now probably, when Shea Weber, when the Leafs played the Canadiens in that overtime game, they had the penalty. Shea Weber took how many shots? We knew it was coming. But that is the thing. It's that threat of knowing it's coming that makes it dangerous.
The Leafs... Leafs power play is one of the most predictable in the league.
And that's the problem.
It's pretty especially with nobody net front, like especially without Tavares, it's like, oh, so he's doing nothing.
Yeah.
Even with Tavares, what is the point of John Tavares being out on that power play? He never touches the goddamn puck when they enter the zone. They don't even use the bumper. They don't use the guy in front of the net. It's Marner, Matthews, Riley. They swing it around the top until somebody either misses the net or the puck clears.
So this is
on the, like, it's, sorry, Dave. It's just, let me walk you through a Leaf power play if we could.
Sure.
Puck's in the back of the net. Freddie drops it. Either Mo or, let's say Mo picks it up, goes to the neutral zone, drops for Marner, pass over to Matthews or over to the guy on the sideboards, carries it in or rings it around. It's the same break in every time. They don't use the bumper. They don't use the front of the net. It's the same three guys that do the same BS that didn't work when they were getting, I don't know what even the word is for that, torn apart for the same thing last year. And nothing's changed, even with this new power play guru. And it's, I don't think it's on McFarland. I think it's on the guys that just are being stubborn and not changing anything, because the Leafs power play doesn't look any different.
So, and yeah, that's my big thing, is the Leafs power play has not looked different. Yes, they move Matthews and Marner, they switch sides. But the whole point of them switching sides was that they would shoot the puck more, because you can get the one-timer off if you're playing your offside. And I agree with you that the Tavares in front of the net, although if he scored, that would have been an example of, oh, look, good things happen when you're in front of the net. I feel like, okay, when Hyman comes back, he's probably going to be in front of the net in that first power play unit when he comes back. Because he'll get in front of the goalie. He'll screen the goalie. They got to move Tavares somewhere else.
They should move him on the second unit, because honestly, it's not Tavares' fault. It's just, if you're not going to utilize him, the guys out there, then why waste his talent when you could put him with him and Nylander on a second unit? Would work out pretty well the way those two sling it around.
Jake, would you agree with that?
Yeah, you have to load up your first power play and let them play a majority of the time, because it's just dumb. Like, I think they're doing it solely because of guys like Barry and Nylander, because they feel like they're kind of the odd man out. But like, if it doesn't work, there's no use to it.
Like that second unit, if you had Tavares, Nylander, Barry, and Kapanen, like that's not a bad second unit.
There's no shooters.
No, but there's no
that's the probably one of the Leafs' biggest issues, is they haven't had like a big shot on a power play probably since Brian McCabe.
Oh yeah, Riley's not going to bomb one. Like Cody Franzen's probably the closest with that half clapper he used to throw.
It's not like a one time threat. It's not like a you have to cut off half the ice, because that's. Like that's Leon such Vanuff a deterrent.
Had a slap shot. He just
it would never hit the never hit his arm. Yeah, and breaking the glass.
Yeah, I don't know. I just so fed up with hearing about the Leafs' power play. It worked when Kadri was here and it stacked, but there's two players on that power play unit that are completely not utilized. So I don't get it. Like, I mean, Janssen's fine there because he's not a guy that's going to rip one from any spot on the ice. He's just there to get, I guess, to fill Hyman's spot at this point.
Yeah, but that's what he's doing. I'm wondering myself, wouldn't a guy like McKayev work better, a bigger body?
Answer to that in every situation is yes. Ilya McKayev would work better in every situation.
Yeah.
He is my absolute favorite.
Okay, so I think we've hashed out our issues with the power play. We will see if that... Maybe the fact that they have some more practice time could potentially help them. They will test that out against the Vegas Golden Knights, who remind us of the team that a lot of people are going to be like, see, look, there's a tough team right there, guys.
Yeah, by the way, everybody keeps like jerking them off like they are 13-0. I think they have a worse record than the Leafs.
Yeah, it's not been all great there either.
Okay, they're slightly better.
And I mean, like the Leafs situation, for one thing, the Leafs are, for how bad the Leafs have been, they're 1 point behind the Buffalo Sabres, who are the hottest team in hockey, apparently.
Yeah, and
minus the Boston Bruins. The Bruins have
been I'm obviously,
the 3 points back of the Islanders, who've won 10 straight.
Obviously exaggerating there, but like Buffalo was like, oh my God, they're going to do it this year. Is got the good month of November banner hanging in the whatever the hell arena. They change the name of it every year. HSBC, Bank, Scotiabank, I don't even know. They're only 1 point behind them after it looked like the sky was falling with the Leafs. So, I mean, it's not all doom and gloom. It's just not what we were expecting.
I think that's the big thing, is we weren't expecting to start like this. You know what? I think Babcock likes that they're not starting off hot, because then...
Oh, he loves it.
It makes it easier for a coach to get the message across that what you're doing isn't working, and that Like, look at the way look at Tampa right now. They're in a worse shape than the Leafs are. Like, the Leafs are, like, for as bad as the Leafs have been, or let's say haven't played to their potential, Tampa Bay, that is going to be a very interesting situation.
I think that's like a pretty good lesson for the Leafs, because you look at what Tampa's basically done is they're fighting. It looks like they're trying to completely change their identity.
Yeah.
Even though their identity, like, got them, what, 126 points or something? Like,
almost the record.
Yeah, like, it's stupid.
The thing is, Tampa's trying to prove that they're not mentally shook from last year, and they've been proving the exact opposite. Like, Andre Vasilevsky hasn't looked good. I think Hedman is still hurt, or he's been hurt.
I think that's correct.
So if Morgan Rielly were to get injured, the Leafs would be in a similar situation where they probably wouldn't be able to handle that. Yeah, he's been out since.
Can you say number one D Cody Ceci?
Good lord! Yeah, he's been out.
I can.
Oh, he came back recently. He missed time. The last game he's played was on October 29, which was the last game of the Flyers. 6 minutes of ice time. Yeah, that's when he got injured in.
I bet. Okay.
Yeah, so I think that's the big thing, is that the Leafs also had some injury issues. That there's, you know, Dermott, Hyman, then Tavares. It's not, you know, that's almost like, imagine if the Bruins were to not have. I mean, we've seen the Bruins without Pasternak. But you add Pasternak, let's say Pasternak, McAvoy, and another forward like a DeBrusque. That changes your team a little bit. Like, the Bruins haven't had to deal with any injuries right now. They've looked really good, I'm not going to lie. Like, the Bruins are, you know, that top line has looked really good. Defensively, and their goaltending.
Yeah, that's like the other thing with the Bruins. It's like, okay, they've had like 600 points from their first line. What about the rest of the team? Like, that's the thing that I just don't understand, how you don't put every single good defensive player you have on one of them.
It's like they only play at most 23, 24 minutes. Some, you know, most teams do that now. They only play that much a night. They're not playing the full 60. How are you not limiting what the rest of the guys do, so that you're just, okay, our focus is on that line. Let's see if the rest of that team can beat us. And really, they we've seen that they haven't had to rely on that. I think, like, if you look at it, Pasternak has how many goals right now?
Like 15.
How many did he have? He was like on a. He had 20. He has 27 points right now, which is.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, he has 15 goals in 15 games. Like, he's averaging a goal a game. This is like when Matthews last year, I think he started off with like scoring 9 in his first 10 games. I think that's what the Bruins are getting right now. They're getting such hot play from their top line that. It doesn't matter what the rest of the team does, but I think eventually that will come back to get them.
Yeah. So
let's talk about the big thing. So Hyman's going to be returning soon. I'm going to assume if it's not this weekend against the Flyers, it's next week, and they have some serious cap decisions they have to make there.
Yeah, that's why
Patan's been playing top six minutes.
Yeah, they think he's just getting getting showcased.
Yeah, I mean, he had a fantastic 2-game little weekend for the Marlies.
I mean,
he was great.
They're just trying to see, okay, will a team take this contract off our books?
Unlikely.
It's unlikely, and it's not going to save you everything you want to save. Okay, so right now the Leafs, I think, how much would they have to clear? Like the full 2 million?
Two, like, and change.
So 2.25 sounds correct.
Okay. So Patan's deal, where is he? He's making 775. Not gonna cut it. So what else do you do? Okay. Jason Spezza, that's another name. That gets you to 1.7. Or sorry, 1.4. My math is bad. 1.475. That still doesn't get you there. Okay. How about we get rid of a defenseman? So Babcock has already said we're most likely going with 6D. So that means Martin Marincin. So 1.4. That, I think that almost gets you there. If I'm not wrong.
Sure.
And I'm thinking to myself. That sounds right. And then somebody brought this up on the radio today, Mike Zigamanis, and how are the Leafs not trying to shop William Nylander? And this is becoming a tired narrative.
Exactly.
It's just getting annoying.
It's getting really annoying because he's the one guy that hasn't given the Leafs a total pain in the ass contract to deal with.
Well,
depends on who you ask, Dave.
Well, I'm just saying.
So, this is my opinion on it. Like, I haven't been satisfied with his performance since he signed the contract.
Neither have I.
Like, he's not been the worst player ever, as he's been described. Yes. I have not seen one player probably since Alex Semin, who's had his like entire game just nitpicked. Like, people realize the second he was drafted, he's always had like a laissez-faire attitude and style. Basically, it looks like he's not trying. And that was the whole thing he had even when he was drafted back in 2013. It's like he plays so smooth that it looks like he's not even trying when he actually is.
I mean,
people are just like nitpicking with defensive responsibilities. It's like, listen, you're not going to turn a fucking leopard into a tiger. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, this is the thing that pisses me off beyond end. They just want these players that are so clearly, like, defined in one role to just be something completely different. It's like me saying, God damn it, why doesn't Ryan Reeves score 40? Why doesn't he score 40? This is bullshit. He's a piece of shit. Trade him. Doesn't score 40. It's like, okay, that's not what he does. It's like remember when the Leafs had David Steckel, the guy that was just fucking unreal at taking faceoffs.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
He was literally acquired for one fucking reason. It was to take faceoffs. Like, you can't complain, "Oh, damn, I wish he had a better shot." It's like, don't put him on the fucking penalty or power play. That's not his role. Like, Nylander's never going to be on a power play. Never. You know who's never being on a power play, never going to be on a penalty kill, never going to be a guy who is leading the league in like takeaways and back checking and is not going to win a Selke. Like, just give it up. Like, you just there's just people that have biases that will never change ever.
Yep.
And I don't understand how you are a fan of a team, but you are so actively rooting against one player. For something that I don't even understand why, because he held out and it worked.
It didn't even work. He wanted $8 million. He got under $7 million.
I mean, he got more than what he thought he would, but still.
He got more than the Leafs wanted to pay him. He still got $1 million less than his evaluation when he held out.
Can I explain why people have such a problem with William Nylander? Especially
Swedish.
The analysts on the radio who have used to play. Nope.
Not Canadian.
Nope. That's not even it either.
Oh, sorry. You're saying radio. I'm just saying
yes.
Those who shall not be named that
no,
start
you're
with
talking
the letter
about,
B.
I know you're talking about Don Cherry. This is
no,
why.
Just.
You look at guys that are on the radio right now, former hockey players on the radio. They see William Nylander give, as Jake say, a laissez-faire attitude and defensively, and they think to themselves, I used to give a good effort defensively and I never got paid what he got paid. That's
exactly it. They're like,
that is,
but it's like, but I worked so hard. It's like, great, you sucked.
You working hard doesn't always equal to wins. Does it help? Of course it does. Also, being able to score goals like Nylander did against the Kings to put that game away is also a valuable commodity.
Great. You worked hard. Were you a top 10 pick and potted 60 points in your first two seasons in the show? No. Shut up.
Yeah. We tend to forget that. I think, I can't remember who mentioned it. Somebody on the TSN panel brought this up, and I like this assessment. He's like, you know what? Like, I don't really care about the defensive woes if he lets in if he has a bad play defensively, but he has to make it up with
it was three Jeff. Or four.
Yes, O-Dog.
He needs to make it up by playing well in the offensive end, because that's what he's paid to do.
Jeff always brings up the Patrick Kane thing. It's like I know 3 times out of 10 you're gonna screw me, but I need 7 out of 10 for you to wow me and make a play. And I mean, he hasn't. I mean, he started off really well, but he's kind of slowed down. I think he had like 2 goals and 4 assists in his last 11 games. So
points wise, he's slowed down, but play wise, he's still been one of the Leafs' best forwards on a nightly basis.
Based on the numbers and stuff like that.
He possesses the puck really well. He cycles well. Sure, he doesn't play well defensively. He gets knocked off the puck, and he can't hit the goddamn net to save his life.
Yeah, that's been a problem.
Yeah, those are your issues.
But he's a master with the possession numbers, and that's what you want, to have the puck on your team stick more than the other team.
This is also the thing. You don't think if Kyle Dubas put out a memo to 30 NHL teams, you know what, guys, I think we're going to trade William Nylander. How many teams do you think are calling the Leafs about William Nylander?
Probably a lot. The thing is, like, I wouldn't mind if he got traded. Like, I wouldn't cry if he got traded. But if they did what some of these dumbasses are doing, and they're just trading him for some fucking like scrub fourth liner or a third pairing D, I'd be pissed off.
Yeah,
I would be okay with any player on the Leafs getting traded, as long as they're getting something like above their value or equal to their value back in trade. Like, I just don't understand. Like, there's just people. I'm convinced there's like Leafs fans, when he scored that third goal, they're like, damn it. Well, and then they just had another complaint. They're like, oh, well, where was that earlier? It's like what do you want? What do you want to do? Like, you're keeping score.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Like, it's just not, that's not how it works.
So I'm gonna have another article idea that I'm gonna put out really soon.
You're gonna put out the defending Nylander article, so I don't have to do it.
I'm gonna put out a why Cody Ceci should be the guy that it should be questioned more than William Nylander, and should be on.
Man, you want like real complaints? Complain about why the fuck we play Martin Rinson ever?
Yes, one. Like,
he is fucking horrible.
Can you not tell? Look, Kevin Gravel, okay, he wasn't that
good. I don't, like, hasn't he been on the Leafs for like 5 years?
He's been there for a while.
We traded for him at the Marner draft. On the second day of the Marner draft.
My goodness.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
He has somebody's nudes or something.
He's been here since the 2015-16 season, yeah.
You guys remember he closed out the Horacek season on the first pair alongside Mo?
Oh, my.
And everyone was like, he's got a long stick, he's fantastic.
That was the most epic tank I've ever seen in my entire life. They were
absolute chef's kiss to that.
I would have put him, if the Leafs won the lottery and got McDavid, I would have said put Marinson and fucking Horacek on Legends Row.
Oh my god. The best move they ever made was giving Horacek the player of the game jacket after his first win. Just like, way to go, pal.
People forget like how bad they were.
Was like their best goal scorer that year. That was how bad.
They were like 4-27.
Oh, so bad.
I told you we went to the 31 thoughts thing, Dave.
Yeah.
I told you about the trade that Friedge said was on the table, right? For Nylander?
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
So the trade that Friedge said was, like, being talked about was Nylander and Zaitsev to the Blues for Pietrangelo, but there would be other pieces around it.
Yeah, there would have to be. The Blues would not do that. I mean, now, in fairness, the Blues got some insurance in Justin Falk if they decide that Pietrangelo can't sign him. But yeah. So, by the way, as we are talking, there has been a trade in the NHL.
I saw that. Robbie Fabbri.
Robbie Fabbri to the Red Wings. Red Wings. For wow. Jacob De La Rose.
That's a trade.
So, I've been a big Robbie Fabbri fan, minus the fact that he has not been able to play.
He cannot stay healthy.
He cannot stay healthy, but he is so skilled. He's like one of those guys that you feel for. I understand why the Blues are looking for some forward depth and guys that can, you know, fulfill a role. But, man, Robbie Fabbri is a good player. So
that is a not great trade for the Blues, because
it could come back to bite them. It's one of those.
De La Rose is a bottom six guy.
That's probably the only trade I remember during that whole contract impasse when they were having some horrendous like potential trades. I think.
Oh my God.
I remember Kipros had one for like David Savard or something. It was awful.
Oh, from the Blue Jackets.
But, yeah. Yeah, but like one that I fully remember was for. What's the big right-handed shot on the Blues?
Oh, Parayko.
Parayko. I would have done that.
I would have
for Nylander. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, some of these fucking trades that I've seen are so dumb.
Like, I would not trade Will and Nylander for anything. Anything like I would want absolutely having a second pairing right-hand defense would be great.
You know how nice it is to have Kyle Dubas as the GM of this team, because he'd be gone already if Nonis or insert GM here who came before Dubas, Lou probably even. Lou would have traded him before he signed him to a contract, for sure.
I think Lou would have considered it.
I think if he held out till December and Lou was still here, Lou would have just straight up traded him.
Yeah, I think he would have traded him or just let him sit.
He would have let him sit. Yeah.
Either or. There was no way about it. He wasn't signing him to that
contract. I mean, look at what's his name right now in the Islander. Oh, Josh Hosang. Lou, he said, really Lou, I want to trade. What did Lou say? Okay, go home and we'll try to get it done. The guy's just been sitting at home doing nothing. That's what. Like,
unbelievable.
So.
I am pretty excited to see how they handle that Barzal contract. I have no idea how that's going to work.
I'm interested because it's either going to go one of two ways. One is the team and the player are going to come, like, it's going to be like he'll get paid his money, or people are going to be like, see, look at what Lou did with this contract.
It's going to be like that regardless. If it's under a certain number, it's going to be like everyone's just going to be like, why didn't we keep Lou?
He's going to try. He's going to go for 10, though. I think Barzal will go for 10.
He's worth it. 10.
Yeah, he's fucking very good,
man.
So, I'm not saying that Nylander should be untouchable, as some other people are putting it out. No, I don't think he's a guy that you should just throw out there and be like, you know, I think we would be okay getting rid of Nylander. It's also like, okay, you get rid of Nylander. Now you got to find a guy. And this is the other thing. The other idea that, you know, they could put anybody, like, just put Kapanen with Matthews. Well,
no.
Well, what's the point? You want a guy that can try to play to Matthews' level.
So Matthews fucking hates playing with Kapanen.
You saw what happened last year when he played with Kapanen and Johnsson, and defense is just focused on Matthews, because Kapanen's going to, I mean... Kapanen sort of does the same thing every time. He just curls back when he gets in the zone, and that's that. He's not really a guy that's going to do... He's not Nylander.
No.
He's fast. He is extremely fast, but he is not...
That's about it.
Yeah. He is not a guy that's going to...
What do they say? Like a million dollar feet, 10-cent hands?
Yeah, he looks like he's fighting the puck sometimes, and I try not to say that in a discouraging way, but like
he might be one of the fastest skaters in the entire league. He reminds me of kind of like a Michael Grabner.
Yeah,
I wish he got as many breakaways as Grabner, but I mean, like, you can tell somebody doesn't have the hands just by watching them on the shootout, just watching how comfortable they are. Because, like, oh my God, There's some guys like in tight just don't have it. And it's there's a ton of guys like that, so but he is one of them. Like whenever I see him on a breakaway, I'm just like, all right, fuck, this is probably not gonna go in.
We want to talk about that Flyers game because I know we bring up the shootout. I mean, that's the game where everything sort of popped off again about Nylander because he got benched for a defensive mistake.
Well, he got benched for like one or two shifts. Like, it wasn't like he got benched for a whole period. I think Babcock realized, okay.
So,
I don't even think he got benched. I just think they moved him like down a line or whatever it is.
I don't know. It's just like, that whole thing is just really... How many guys have made mistakes on your forward core this season alone? And gotten off?
Matthews has, Marner has, like...
Kapanen javelined a stick at a Habs player, which cost them a tying goal, which in a game they ended up losing. Mitch Marner handed another team two goals in a single game, and nothing happened.
Matthews with the Dubois. Like, Nylander is not the only one guilty of it, and I think that's what annoys me is that they're making him the scapegoat. First, it was, it was Jake Gardner for the longest time. Now it's going to be William Nylander.
Jake Gardner leaving was the worst thing that could happen to William Nylander's career in Toronto.
Yeah. So, and this is the other thing I want to bring up. We're obsessing about William Nylander, how much he's getting paid and not producing. Can we also talk about Cody Ceci getting paid $4.5 million? To look like an absolute
a fucking pylon.
Literally be a human anchor that's tied to Morgan Riley's ankles.
Like, don't get me wrong. I'd rather not have the Zaitsev contract, but Cody Ceci
he really tests my patience.
Yes, he does.
I don't get it.
Why is the simple solution not trying to find this? Like, just find a team that will take this contract.
Oh, there isn't a single team in this league where you're getting an even half decent return back.
I do not care about the return at this point because
they do need a right-handed defenseman.
They are basically just plugging a body into the lineup until Sandin / Liljegren or both.
Man, they really need Liljegren to be
ready. That's why he's on a 1-year contract. He looked good. I haven't had an issue with him with the Marlies. He needed another year. It's what we were saying all offseason.
That's what they need. They desperately need their Marlies. As I said, their Marlies defense needs to eventually... Like, we talk about how good the Marlies are. I've heard all the time, the Marlies are so good. They have so many good players. When are we going to start seeing them on the back end? The problem is, you look at their back end...
You got to draft them.
That's the thing. You have to draft them. Like,
other than Dermott, we haven't graduated any defensemen that were homegrown from the Marlies since Riley and Gardner, unless I'm forgetting someone.
So something I do also want to bring up, what could potentially make me entertain the idea of trading Nylander, not right now, but eventually, is the fact that you have a guy like Nick Robertson, who, if he develops the right
way... Not a defenseman.
Develops the right way...
Sorry, Dangle.
You have Austin Matthews with Nick Robertson. That's gonna be a pretty good duo, in my opinion.
Oh my god! And the assist machine, SDA.
Yeah, doesn't
the guy can't score a goal to save his life? But
doesn't he have like 20 goals in the OHL already?
Robertson does, and SDA has like 22 assists or something like that.
Oh, also, I had this question. So the Leafs, if they do somehow make the playoffs or miss the playoffs. Is their pick protected? I think it is, right?
It is.
It's top 10 protected, I think.
What?
No,
I thought it was lottery protected.
Yes, lottery protected.
Could be wrong. Okay, well, there you go.
Okay, thank God. All right. So just in case it all goes to shit, Lafreniere season. No.
No. Great, everyone. We're rebuilding the rebuild.
He's going to the he's going to the Devils or the...
Marner, Matthews, pack your shit.
So
we're starting it over.
Robertson has 19 goals in 17 games in the OHL right now.
Which is pretty good.
So,
I remember on draft day, I tweeted out something like Nick Robertson should have gone in the first round, and somebody tweeted me back like, "Oh, well, why did so many people pass on him?" Like, you could say so many people were supposed to be first round prospects, and I'm like, "You have you watched film of this kid? First of all, he was, again, the youngest player in the draft. The Leafs took SDA the year before, who was like 3 days under the cap to make this draft. Nick Robertson was the exact same. And he potted like 25 goals, 30 goals as a barely 17-year-old. Just cartoon numbers he had for a guy that was barely 17.
Yeah.
Just makes you wish they had first round picks and more picks, but
I'm
you know, at first I was glad they got rid of the Marleau contract, but then I think about it,
they had no choice.
It was a necessary evil.
It really does annoy me that everyone talks about Lou. The fact that that contract was just so flawed when it was signed in the first place.
Infuriating thing is that everyone in the organization has agreed and said that they knew the contract wasn't going to make it to a third year. So I know you needed to sign a guy to come over, but you knew this whole situation was going to come down to you having to trade assets for somebody to take on Marleau before you signed the deal. Part of me, that bothers me. But yeah.
So
whatever. It is what it is.
Now, one idea I want to throw out there, just to kind of end the podcast. I talked about getting rid of CeCe, and you guys said, well, what team would take him? What if the Leafs were to try to sweeten the deal with a guy like Kapanen?
What's the point?
To try to get, not only get rid of the contract, but maybe try to actually get something in return?
I mean, you'd have to get like a legitimate player. Who has some term on it too?
That's the thing. This is also one thing. I think TSN put up their trade bait board. I'm gonna bring it up right now. You're gonna laugh because I laughed when I first saw it too.
Is Marinch in top three?
That was. I think he's number two.
Christ.
On the
trade. Oh my god! Just don't even make the
talk
list.
Talk about just delete the document at that point. If Martin Marinchin's even top 10, you don't have an article.
So this was posted on October 31st, Frank Cervelli's trade bait board. So
it was a trick, not a treat.
Yeah, so number one was Chris Kreider.
That's a very good player.
Very good player. Cap hit is decent, 4.63, so if you can make it work, you can make it work. Martin Merchant, number two. How the hell is Martin Merchant even a top? Like
who's three?
Puljujarvi.
What? So fucking. If that is ranked, that's so disrespectful.
I think the part of what makes it ranked is likelihood of them getting traded.
Puljujarvi's not number one on that list. Like Edmonton's still holding out hope that this guy that straight up said, I'm not playing for you anymore.
I think they've accepted that fact. I think it's they're not trading him
on his terms.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And they'll make him sit out the rest of the year. I think they will do that.
No, way to stick it to him. You're going to give him up for peanuts over a pissing contest. Congratulations.
So
you took him fourth overall. Way to go.
So I'm going to bring up another name. Austin has brought this up before in the past, Julius Honka.
My guy.
You got apparently Travis Habenick would be on that as well.
He's a guy.
He's a right-handed shot defenseman that probably would be better than CeCe at this point.
I mean, yeah, but he's
everyone would be
not good in the offensive zone, Habenick.
Well, I don't care if he's good in the offensive zone. That's not my worry at this point. I just need someone that knows how to defend. Like if you want an offensive upgrade, you could go for TJ Brody, but that's. I don't see that point. Calgary's not going to be moving guys at this point. This is a tough time right now. I mean, I think the Leafs' issues would be solved if they got rid of CeCe and just brought someone else up from the Marlies. I just can't see how even Justin Hall has looked better than Cody CeCe.
Yeah, he is, but he has actually looked surprisingly good.
Yep.
To be honest, if they could get him to be above average, I think that'd be a hell of a find.
Yeah, he doesn't even need to be he needs to be a 6D.
Yeah, and he's done that.
And if you're a good 6D and a right-handed shot, then you're laughing.
And he's one of the few defensemen who will actually hit guys Unfortunately, he gets penalized too much for it.
Yeah, he's a big body. He's like 6'3".
I feel like sometimes...
Well, most people don't notice about him.
I feel like when he, like, a Leafs guy makes a hit, the refs get so surprised that their arm goes up. And like, oh, we got to make a call now, guys.
Yeah, it's just...
So, I think that's a good point then on the podcast. I think the Leafs... It's going to be interesting to see what they do when Hyman is ready. I think the good thing is that they don't need to rush him back because this is a torn ACL. I'm like, it's not like a broken finger when it's healed. It's healed. Like a torn ACL, that stuff lingers. So I say the Leafs, as much as Hyman would help, they also can't risk having this guy re-injure himself. Just like the Dermott. If Dermott was ready, good to go, he's good to go. Don't rush it. So that's where I'm at with that. Any closing thoughts for you, gentlemen?
No, not really.
Austin, I'll give you the floor. Any last thoughts?
Stop getting on William Nylander. I will die on this hill, so don't expect me to change my mind on it.
You had a good tweet last night with that Steve. That Stephen A. video is one of my favorites.
It's an underappreciated Stephen A. moment, I think.
I mean, the man just is straight up carrying.
He's a walking meme. Oh my God. That,
he's carrying ESPN. ESPN, you know, is garbage without
the
him.
Beyonce meme? Have you ever seen that one? He's doing the ring on it?
Yes.
I was sitting maybe 10 feet to his right when he fucking did that, and the entire place died. It was just an empty room, and Stephen A. Smith broke out the fucking... I don't even remember the goddamn name of the song. Just... The guy's a walking meme, and he's incredible. Also surprisingly tall.
Oh, he used to play basketball in college.
Yeah, he's like 6'4", 6'3", somewhere around there. Yeah. He's a big boy. You'd think just the way he looks on TV, you'd think he's like 5'11", 5'10", maybe. No, he's a big dude.
Yeah, no. Yeah, he's they always talk about how he, like, how much he gets paid. He gets paid like $10 million by ESPN. And that's probably the only non-complaint ever anybody has about ESPN. They're like, oh, he definitely deserves that. Like, there's bums they could easily cut off the payroll, but he is not one of them.
Just real quick, on one day, I was working at the finals, and Stephen A. did First Take at Scotiabank. He did Stephen A. Smith's show for 2 hours directly after that, where he just yells on the radio for 2 hours. Then he did an appearance on... what the hell's the show with Rachel Nichols? I forget the name of it.
Jump.
The Jump. He did an appearance on that, and then immediately after he was done that appearance, they took him over to Nathan Phillips Square to appear on SportsCenter that night. So he did like...
Hardest working man in showbiz.
Yeah. It's no joke. That guy does 8 to 10 hours of TV a day.
I'm trying to think. They called him July 1st. They called him when he was on vacation. I remember they called him in when he was in his pajamas. I mean, the guy's basically like, they have the Stephen A. signal, sort of like the bad signal. And anytime they sound it off, he just has to be there.
Yeah. Well, otherwise you're just working with Ryan Hollins and it's a massive gong show.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He is very entertaining, I will say.
Anyway, back to my main thought. Don't get on William Nylander. My words will not change anything anyone does. So not you're going to continue to bash that narrative. You know who you are. People who love talking smack about William Nylander. I will enjoy him. And it's the same thing as usual. If you go against a player on this team, in my eyes, you are not a fan of this team.
No.
Do not celebrate with the rest of this fan base when we are up.
No. Yeah, it's annoying.
You can fuck off for all I care. I don't like swearing a lot on here, but those people just, they don't have a place in this fan base.
Okay, I'm currently listening to the Spitting Chicklets episode with Kirby Doc, and talk about swearing. Holy.
Yeah, he's... Yeah, I listened to that, I was like, oh, okay.
I'm surprised the Blackhawks PR guy is probably going...
Oh, is that the Kirby Doc episode?
I couldn't believe he sounded like way older.
Yeah, he does. He sounds way more mature than I'm about 3/4 of the way through the interview, and he sounds like a guy that fits what Chicago, like, I think that's part of the reason why Chicago picked him third when I think some people thought maybe a guy like
Byron, that was a surprising pick in my opinion, but not a terrible one.
But at the same time, I think, you know, it's one of those also, like, I think they realize that this guy will fit with that locker room with all those personalities, because they have a lot of personalities in that locker room. Also, a lot of problems in that locker room too. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah,
that's a team where you see what happens when you're diminishing your prospect capital as they have. So I don't think the Leafs should do that. I think the Leafs, I mean, yeah, they gave up their first round pick this year. I think your first round pick the next few years are going to be, they should be gold going forward. And I think what will help is knowing that they can't really add much. So they can't really use picks now. So we shall see how that works out. We have the Golden Knights on Thursday. As we're recording this, we're almost at midnight on the Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then we've got the Philadelphia Flyers on the Tuesday. I'm sorry, on the Saturday. My goodness.
Again?
Yep, at home against the Flyers.
We mix it up a little.
And then we are on the... And then we got... Hey, guess what, guys? A back-to-back against the Chicago Blackhawks in Chicago.
Well, I'll take that. They kind of suck, so...
Yeah. And then, good boys, Jake, get ready. On November 13th, on the Wednesday, we've got the Maple Leafs visiting Nassau Coliseum to go against the Islanders.
I'm sure the tickets will be $8 after I spent like fucking $700 to get three tickets last year.
Oh, and then we get another back-to-back against the Bruins and Penguins. So those back-to-backs are coming back.
I'm sorry, a back-to-back against the Bruins and Penguins?
Yep.
Could we not just get like the Wild and the Hurricanes on a back-to-back or some BS? Like,
well, I mean, they got the Hawks on one, so.
Yeah, but every single back-to-back's been like Boston and Columbus, like two playoff teams. I'm just, maybe catch a break, but we won't, so whatever. Schedule's not going to change, so just play through it.
Apparently we also got a back-to-back of the Sabres end of the month, so
that helps.
Yeah,
hopefully we can actually, I wouldn't mind playing in the playoffs, to be honest. I just think they're going to fold like a cheap tent again.
Yeah,
Buffalo.
Yeah. It's just the same story every year. Like, they get surprisingly good goaltending. Special teams is unbelievable. They have, like, high shooting percentage and all that shit. Then it all fucking hits the shit, and they're screwed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what ended their season was when Matthews just went bar down on them in overtime.
Oh, that.
They were terrible from then on.
Yeah, I remember that. That was kind of right after, like, this was pegged as like a big QEW showdown, because the Sabres went through that great month, and then Austin Matthews just went burned out. Just unreal goal, I remember that.
Oh,
that two was unreal goals in that game, actually. I think he had one behind the net, and then he had the overtime one.
That's the game where he jumped and grabbed it over Bolio's head and then put it a wraparound in one motion.
Yep, I remember. Mm-hmm. So
that goal was ridiculous, and it was the second nicest goal he scored on the night.
Yeah, this is going to be a critical month, I think, to see where they are, especially with the game against the Bruins and some other good and not so good teams. So we shall see. With that being said, I'd like to thank you all for listening, and Jake is getting tired, and so am I. So we will end it there. Please subscribe to the podcast, follow us on Twitter, and just make it relax with the Leafs a little bit.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.